Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This is John Middlecoff from 3 and Out with John Middlecoff. Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You can work from the road while turning your vehicle into a powerful high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi on a network that covers more roads than any other carrier. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls. Finish up that presentation or answer last-minute emails. Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to see if you're eligible for a free trial today. Based on independent third-party data, always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Hey everyone, welcome into the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I'm Bobby Sylvester, joined by Mike Tagliere and Kyle Yates, and we have got an awesome episode going on. Tags, tell them what it's about, buddy.
Oh man, I'm psyched. So we've been doing we've done a couple mock draft episodes where we walk through the NFL draft and we talk to you guys about what we're expecting teams to do based on what we're hearing. But this episode, we are actually going to break it down as to how we would draft for those teams. So this is based on our talent evaluation, not based on what we're hearing from NFL teams. Like for example, Jordan Love is expected to go in the first round of the NFL draft. I don't know if any of us are high
enough. I'm not taking him there.
Yeah, I don't think any of us are going to be taking him in the first round because this is what we would actually do in the draft. So this is really, it's kind of just a fun exercise because obviously what the NFL teams are going to do, that's what's going to impact football. But this is more of like a fun thing that I'm really, really looking forward to.
And Yates, we're going two rounds deep, so we're going to keep this moving. It's going to be an extended episode. We're talking like 80, 90 minutes maybe. And we're also doing trades. How you doing, Yates?
I'm good, man. Yeah, it's the weather here. I just got back from a walk with my wife and my son, and so the weather here has finally turned. Super nice to like extend our radius a little bit. So I'm in just such a good mood, man. And then you add on this, yeah, it's a good day.
Yeah, sure. I'm pretty pumped about it. These are always my favorite episodes, and especially adding the trades, like that's going to add a whole new angle from it. So we've each got, I don't know, about 10 teams. We've each got about 20 picks, so let's get this rolling. And Tags, I've got the 1-1 with the Cincinnati Bengals. Since we're doing trades, I'm going to put it on the trade block and just see what can I get for it. Yates, you've got Miami, so I just want to make you an offer right up, okay? You've got number 5, number 18, number 26. That's 3 first-round picks. I want those 3 and next year's first and your second this year. Can you do that?
Oh, my word. No, I'm not going to do that. that is a little bit too much to sacrifice, especially for a team like Miami, who is rebuilding as much as they are, and they need those. So while getting Joe Burrow there at 101 is super tempting, that's just too much of a haul, I think, even to even counter.
So this draft is based in Las Vegas. I'm going to try and make a big splash here because obviously we have the Oakland Raiders move into Las Vegas.
The Raiders, what do you have to trade, man? You're all the way down at 112.
I'm going to offer you, all right, the 112, the 119, so my 2 first-round picks this year, next year's first-round pick.
Okay, that's a good start. I need more, okay?
So next year's second-round pick and Derek Carr.
Oh, my word.
That's a big package, okay? So we have three first-round picks, a second-round pick, and Derek Carr in exchange for the 101, and I also want A.J. Green included in that.
You had to add in A.J. Green. I was going to do it. Can you add in a third? You've got 3 thirds this year. Can you add in your last third?
I feel like it's a fair deal. I mean, we have AJ Green, who's on an expiring contract. You franchise tagged him. I basically have to trust that I'm going to be able to work out a long-term deal with him, maybe another 3-year deal.
I'm going to do it, man. I get 3 firsts and Derek Carr?
Yeah, buddy. I mean, this is what you have to do.
Would I rather have Derek Carr or Joe Burrow for the next 3 years? It's really close, man. And whoa, I'm getting 3 firsts.
What are you talking about? Okay.
I love Joe Burrow. We know Derek Carr is a top 15 quarterback in the NFL.
He's
had nothing to work with. No offensive line. He said no wide receivers, nothing. And he's been fine. He's been playing through broken backs and broken legs. He's a good quarterback.
I am not on board with that, about him being a top 15 quarterback.
Is there any chance that Joe Burrow is Joey Harrington?
No.
Yeah? There's been a lot of number one overall picks who have busted.
Joey Harrington, he didn't break records.
There's a chance he's a superstar. Is it going to happen in the next 3 years? I don't know.
I was actually like contemplating making this offer to you before you even put it out there. So I'm happy that we were able to make a deal. And with the 101...
I'm taking Derek Carr and 3 first-round picks.
And with the 101 pick, I am going to go ahead and select Joe Burrow out of LSU.
Really? That's who you're going with? You trade for the first pick and you're going Joe Burrow. Actually, I'm going to make this trade here. Washington is going to be on the clock. What are you doing with it? Yates, I believe you have the pick.
Yeah. So... obviously, the popular pick here has been Chase Young, and while I believe that he is a top talent...
You going to take trade offers for this?
Yeah, so I was just about to say, while Chase Young is tempting, I'm going to at least put it out there on the block to see what you guys can offer, and we'll see what we can get here.
I thought about trying to move up with the Jags, but the thing is, the Jags' defense is just decimated. They need all the picks, and I think they've got a chance at Trevor Lawrence next year, so I'm not going to do the Jags... I've got an offer for the Giants to move up.
Okay, at 104.
Obviously, I wouldn't be taking Tua if I do that. Yeah. You know, with the Jags, I could trade 109, 120. I just don't think I want to do it. So the 104, 236, and their number 4 next year. So plug it into your calculator. 104, so you move down 2 picks, and you get 236, which is almost a first. You're going to get a first-round talent in this draft, and 2021's number 4 to move up 2 spots.
Yeah, I think with losing out on the chance to draft Chase Young, but the thing that we have to keep in mind is Washington doesn't have a second round pick this year because of moving up last year for Montez Sweat, and they still have a pretty good edge grouping there with Montez Sweat and Ryan Kerrigan. So like Chase Young is kind of a luxury pick, but they do still have some needs across that defense. Do I want to make this? Yeah, let's have some fun today. Let's move down. So I can pick up that second round, that high second round pick there. And let's trade out of 102, and we'll see what this looks like.
All right. Well, I'm taking Chase Young, obviously. I think he's a historically good defensive end, outside linebacker, edge rusher, whatever you want to call him. So that brings us to number 3. Let's see who's got this pick. Tags, what do you think about this deal?
I mean, I was going to offer something similar from the Chargers to move up from 106 to 102.
Too late, man. You snooze, you lose.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't beat the 104 pick. Obviously, that's moving back 2 spots, and I mean, I have an idea as to who they're going to look to take there, but I feel like it's an overall good deal. I didn't think the Giants would be moving up. I didn't think they were a team that was sitting in a bad spot. Washington, actually, by the way, speaking on real terms, I think that Washington is actually considering taking Tua there. I really do. There's really no reason. I know people say that it's to drum up interest in the pick, but I don't think that Rivera would want to move back past 1-3, and Detroit's not trading up for that pick, because if Chase Young falls to 3, you know that the Lions are going to run up there and take him. So I think there's actually legit, like, and I'm not willing to mock him there yet, but I think that there's real, like, a possibility that that Washington takes Tua at number 2.
Yeah. In my mock draft that I did yesterday, it was a 2-round mock draft with trades. I had the Chargers trading up to 2 to take Tua.
Yeah. I think that they would like to, but Washington, I don't think they want to move back that far. So I think if someone wants it, I think they have to come back and say, you need to get the 1-3 somehow.
You guys remember, like, I don't know, before the injury, everyone was saying Tua was likely going over Burrow. And I get it. Burrow just had a historically great season, but I think there's a chance that Tua is that good.
Well, tank for Tua was a real thing. I mean, that was the saying. So yeah, he was supposed to go number 1.
All right. So we're to pick number 3 here. Tags, you've got Detroit Lions. Are you going Okuda? You going Simmons? You trading back?
Me personally, I'm. This is tough for me.
You putting Stafford on the bench?
I think no. I'm definitely not doing that. You know, after losing Darius Slay, it's brutal because it's a passing game right now. And Desmond Trufant was brought in. Justin Coleman. Those are my starting cornerbacks right now. It's not great, but I also feel like you could probably find a cornerback. I don't think I'm going to be able to find a linebacker if I were to fall back. So. If I'm Detroit here, I'm going to go ahead and take Isaiah Simmons. I believe Isaiah Simmons is a real game changer, and I think Jerod Davis is a bust. They don't have linebackers there. It's a problem. And I know that they signed Jamie Collins, but I still think that linebacker is an issue for them. You need multiple linebackers back there in Matt Patricia's system, and Jerod Davis ain't it. So Isaiah Simmons, I do believe he's a generational talent. I don't know if I can say the same thing that I feel the same way about Okuda that I do Simmons. So I'm gonna take the best player available right here and the centerpiece of the defense.
I like it. You know, if I was the Giants sitting at 1-4 and you took Simmons right ahead of me, I'd be so upset. I don't know. I guess you could go offensive line if you're the Giants, but it looks like they're keying in on Simmons. So Yates, it's to you at pick number 4. Now that you drop down with Washington, who do you end up with?
Yeah, so losing out on Chase Young, obviously it hurts. I mean, he's a phenomenal talent. But for me, the 104 for Washington, they have a desperate need at corner. And the guy that I was trading back and hoping to get, it was going to be fine if it was Isaiah Simmons or Jeffrey Okuda. I'm going Jeffrey Okuda here at the 104. Talented cornerback prospect out of Ohio State. Can be that lockdown corner to come alongside. I mean, they brought back Kendall Fuller. You have Jimmy Moreland who flashed at times, but like Fabian Moreau, Cody Sensabaugh, Ronald Darby on a one-year deal. So there's like a lot of unknowns there. But to be able to add in someone like Jeffrey Okuda into this defense, now it's looking really, really solid.
I've got Okuda as the number 2 on my big board, right behind Chase Young. Now, I love Joe Burrow, but I think Okuda might be the best cornerback prospect we've seen since Jalen Ramsey. Maybe better tags?
I don't know. I like Denzel Ward a lot. And I thought Denzel Ward was someone. Denzel Ward was like considered like he's going to go top 10. I don't know if anybody mocked him to go number 4 overall. And that's Okuda getting up there in 3 and 4. It's a little surprising to me considering the talent that's in this draft. But I mean, again, it is a passing game and teams have to go get those like top tier cornerbacks. So I can't say I fault them, but they have gone out in free agency and added they snagged Kendall Fuller, which he's returning. I'm guessing he's going to go back to play the slot. And they signed Ronald Darby, who's been pretty bad with the Eagles the last couple of years. I would agree with Yates that it's still a need on their team.
All right, Yates, you've got all the Miami Dolphins picks. Who are you grabbing at number 5? This where the first offensive lineman comes off the board?
So I'm really going back and forth. I think for the way that I want to build Miami's team, they still have 2 first round picks next year, 2 seconds. So I think that they can build the foundation still. They're doing a really, really good job. Ryan Fitzpatrick is still there and he played really well last year, carried that team to 5 wins, right? We look at the talent around it, really was not worthy of being even a 5 win team, but yet, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick can still be there another year. Even though Tua is a phenomenal talent, I think I'm going to plug a huge hole here on that offensive line with a top tier talent. I'm going to grab Mekhi Becton. Mekhi Becton is the top rated tackle on my board, and his upside is through the roof. I think he can just be that guy who's going to be able to step right in and help build this solid unit that now has Eric Flowers at left guard, who played pretty well last year, actually. Ted Cross at center. You know, so you have some pieces now. All right, let's fill it out. Let's get the foundation. And then next year, we still have the draft capital to move around. And potentially even in this draft, if we, you know, view that Jordan Love's going to fall down and if he's going to be that guy, we still have these other first round picks. So Mekhi Becton here at 105.
Tags, is Becton your number 1 offensive tackle on your board?
No, he's not.
Who do you have? I've got Wills there, but I've got all 3 of these guys super close.
I have Andrew Thomas, number 1.
You have Andrew Thomas 1, okay.
I like Thomas. I feel like he's being so undervalued in this class, and if he falls out of the top 10, I think it's ridiculous.
4 months ago, everyone was saying he's going in the top 5, man, and now everyone's got him as the 4th tackle on their board.
Yeah, Becton has moved up a lot. Werfs has moved up a lot. Like, their combines were really good. Wills is very stable. But I think Thomas projects as, like, a plug-and-play left tackle. And if he falls the Browns at 10 and they don't take him there, I think they're stupid.
Okay, so we're moving on to pick number 6. Tags, you've got this one. You wanted to trade up for Tua. You didn't get in there. I'm assuming that's your taking here.
That's
right?
Absolutely. Like when he started talking about not going to take Tua, I'm like, oh, that's exactly where I'm going. Because if Tua wasn't there, I was not going to take Justin Herbert here. I don't like him here. I mean, I know that the Chargers need to solidify the quarterback position, but I would probably go out there and sign a Cam Newton or something like that rather than take Justin Herbert here at 6. So I'm going to go ahead and say I'm going to go Tua Tagovailoa out of Alabama.
You know, I've got to say with Cam sitting out there, I think there's quarterbacks going to be dropping down the board, Herbert especially. When I was trying to trade Joe Burrow from Cincinnati, it was because I thought this offense can compete right away with Cam Newton. So I wanted to get all those picks from the Dolphins. Now, obviously, I got Derek Carr in the trade. But let's see. We're moving on to Carolina.
They have holes everywhere. So, Yates, you have Carolina. I am really curious to see what direction you go here.
I keep mocking Derek Brown to them because that's an obvious hole. Like, they've got the worst run defense of all time. But is that where you're going?
Yeah. I'm looking at my board and I'm trying to figure out. I mean, again, Tags mentioned it. They have holes everywhere. I think so. They solved the offensive tackle need with Russell Okung, at least in the short term.
But created another one and losing.
Created another one on the interior. So maybe we're going to move Greg Little into the interior. I don't know. Doesn't make much sense. But yeah, I think Javon Kinlaw makes a ton of sense here, all the way up at 7. I think, but I don't know if I'm going to go there. I'm going to go with Derek Brown. I think his combine was underwhelming, but yet I don't think that we need to put a ton of stock in that. He's just one of these guys who isn't a super ultra athletic interior player, but yet, man, he just gets the job done. He is an elite run stuffer, can take on multiple blocks on the offensive line, and then can also bring some upside as a pass rusher. So yeah, Derek Brown here to the Carolina Panthers, and we're going to rebuild this unit.
All right, we're going to move on to the Arizona Cardinals here in just a minute. And Tags, I want your opinion on Derek Brown and Kinlaw. But first, I just want to tell you guys, if you're not on Twitter, I think you're missing out on a lot of information. Like, there's not a bunch going on in sports right now. But in terms of NFL draft content, Tags and Yates and I are pumping a ton out. You can give us all a follow at KyleYNFL, at MikeTeglierNFL, at Bobby Fantasy Pro. If you don't have an account yet, I would strongly recommend going out and getting one now. So we're talking about all kinds of things, you know, much shorter thoughts than, oh, I don't want to build a full article about this, but I've got something I want to say. And there's a ton of stuff that I think you will enjoy. Information for your dynasty leagues as well. And we also have the main account at Fantasy Pros, where we've got all kinds of breaking news. You'll find out immediately when stuff happens. We're also on Instagram if you want to follow us, at KyleYNFL, at Bobby Fantasy Pro, at Mike Tagliere. Don't put the NFL on Instagram to find us. So, Tags, what do you think about Brown? Is he your number one defensive tackle? Do you like Kinlaw more like I do?
No, I have Brown as my number one tackle. I don't find this as a particularly great tackle class. And I find it odd that a lot of people are mocking like 5 defensive tackles to go in the first round when historically that just doesn't happen. You know, we're typically going to see like 2 or 3 go in the first round.
And it's a great class in everything else. And I agree, it's not a great defensive tackle class.
That's what I'm saying is like, but people are trying to ruse like Ross Blacklock. They're moving him into the top 15 in some mocks. And I'm like, really? Like, I don't see it. But it is what it is. And that's where mocks are in. And I'm trying to go off historic things because it's like, that's what's most likely to happen. And I can't put that guy in my top 3 defensive tackles, but Derek Brown is my number one. He's in my top 10 overall players. I love the pick here. Carolina needs it. Now, I think that they're a team that should be one that should be looking to trade back, to be honest with you, unless Simmons falls to them, which he didn't hear. But if Simmons doesn't fall to them, I think they should be trading back because that's a team that needs to accumulate picks and accumulate talent because that secondary is just completely depleted. And speaking of those thoughts that Bobby was just mentioning about Twitter, I posted yesterday, the wide receivers in the NFC South, Michael Thomas, Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley, Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, that's not even mentioning Emmanuel Sanders or the wide receiver that the Saints are going to draft here in one of these mocks. The Panthers starting cornerbacks right now are Dante Jackson, Dominique Hatfield, and Corn Elder.
Who are those guys?
Those are some solid names, I'll tell you that.
Dante Jackson's really fast. But
yeah, they should definitely trade back.
Yeah. Okay, so we got pick number 8 with Arizona before they went out and traded for DeAndre Hopkins out of nowhere. I thought they were going to grab, you know, the first wide receiver here, but
this one, Arizona, it's pretty easy for me. I already mentioned to you guys that Andrew Thomas is my top tackle in this draft. So I'm going to run up there and take him. And because I know he's a left tackle. I know that DJ Humphreys, that we just signed him to a contract extension for whatever reason. I wasn't the GM when that happened because I wouldn't have done it. But Andrew Thomas comes in. I believe he can play right or left. He is better than DJ Humphreys. So you're going to slide Humphreys over there to the right side and put Andrew Thomas at left tackle because he is going to be a stud in this league for some time. If you want to start him at right tackle, whatever. We'll figure it out in training camp. But adding an offensive lineman to protect Kyler Murray, who will continue to run for his life. We have Kenyon Drake. We have these weapons now. It's like now we have our offense solidified. And moving forward in the draft, we could probably address defense.
I think there's like 9 really good players in this draft, 4 offensive linemen, and all the guys we've already taken, Simmons, Akuda, Tua, Burrow, Chase Young. And then you get to the Jags, and they don't really need a tackle. They need so many other things. Like, they could use a tackle, sure, but they need a corner. They need everywhere on defense, right? Interior defensive linemen especially. They need a safety big time. They need a wide receiver. I'd love if Okuda or Simmons dropped, but if they don't, I want to trade back. So who wants to move up and get one of these stud offensive linemen? I'm looking at you, Tampa and Yates. I'm just so frustrated as a Jags fan with everyone mocking like CJ Henderson here. Give me a break. If they do that, I quit.
That's possible. He's a riser, man. He's moving up draft boards rapidly. And would it shock me if he goes top 10? No.
In this class, he's risky. So anyone have anything? Otherwise, I'm just going to go ahead and make my pick.
So New York Jets at 11. If I offer to move up to 109, if I offered you our second round pick this year, would you do it?
I'll do it. Yeah. Yeah. You want it?
Okay. Yep.
To move up two spots?
To move up two spots. I'm going to throw you a fifth round pick as well, just to make it a little more realistic. So, all right. You got the Jets moving up to 9.
Yep. So looking at the board ahead as the New York Jets, we desperately need offensive tackle. And so looking at the board and seeing that Cleveland has the probability to take one, you know, I don't know if another team was going to come up, you know, in this possibility where, you know, Bobby's thrown out on the board that some other team could move up, you know, like Tampa Bay or, you know, Denver, whatever. You need to go up and you need to get your guy. So I'm going to take Jedrick Wills here. Yes, we sacrificed that second round pick, which, you know, can hurt in the short term, but yet we're here to build this team for the long term. So, you know, Jedrick Wills here plugs a major need and makes sure that we get our guy.
Tags, what do you think about this? I mean, if Tampa had moved up and then Cleveland takes the second offensive lineman, then the Jets are sitting there with no chance to get an offensive lineman, which is their biggest need.
Yeah, that, and you know Cleveland's going to take one. They really don't have players right now. They need a tackle real bad. I mean, we just talked about that. I know they signed Jack Conklin, but left tackle, they really don't have one on the roster. That's a problem. And Jedrick Wills was a good pick, and it's the one that I would have preferred as the Browns, just because he's the most, I would say he's pro-ready. He may not have a massive ceiling or anything like that, but I think he's a safe player. So with the 10th pick with the Browns, I'm going to have to go with Tristan Wirfs out of Iowa and take kind of the upside pick here. And it's not to say that he's not going to pan out or he's not going to be really good, but it's more like he's a crazy good athlete that he can get better. He has a massive ceiling. Do I want him starting at left tackle day one? Probably not, because some people have actually said they believe he's going to be a better guard in the NFL. But right now, I don't really have a choice as the Browns. I have to take a tackle here, so I'm going to go ahead and take Wirfs off the board.
All right, guys, the Jags move back to 11. That's who I've got here. I think Wirfs was the obvious pick. We don't really need to talk about that one a ton. There's four great offensive tackles.
Real quick, like, you know, we just went through tackles. Like, clearly, like, we value tackles, like, as analysts right now. Like, we're doing this as we would. Do we think, is it time to finally say that the NFL teams undervalue the tackle position early in the draft? Because typically, we only see a couple tackles come off the board in the first round. And, like, even in the first two rounds, you might see five, typically, like, historically. And do we find it coincidental that top tier left tackles and like they don't hit the free agent market because teams don't let them get away? Are you guys with me on that? The teams undervalue their left tackles?
I think it has more to do with the strength of these previous classes. Like these previous offensive tackle classes have not been great. Like we were talking about Garrett Bowles. What year was that? 2017, 2016? Where like Garrett Bowles was the first offensive tackle taken at 24. You know, and you're like, Garrett Bowles was your top tackle. You know, I just think it speaks to the overall strength of the classes versus this class, which is a very, very good and deep offensive tackle class.
All right, let's see. The Jags are at 11. I'm willing to move back again, guys. We've got Minnesota who needs a wide receiver. So first of all, let's take a look at this draft right now, okay? So the team's coming up. Cincinnati just traded AJ Green. They need a wide receiver. San Francisco needs a wide receiver. Denver needs a wide receiver. Philadelphia needs a wide receiver at 21. I can move back that far. That's fine. Minnesota has two first-round picks. I'll move back and take one of them and your second-round pick. Who's got the Vikings?
I have the Vikings at, I mean, what would you want from the Vikings to move up there?
Yeah, I want 22.
Okay.
I want 58, so your late second-round pick. And I want 3-105. So you've got two third-round picks, two first-round picks.
So I'd still have my 125. Yeah, I'll actually, you know what? I'll take that deal. I will do that. So my first, second, and third round pick to move up.
Okay. So the Minnesota Vikings move up?
From 122 up to 111.
Yeah. And who are you taking here?
I'm going to go up and get Jerry Jeudy, a natural replacement for Stephon Diggs. I mean, that's actually the direct comp. Playing alongside Thielen, it's perfect. He's a field stretcher. Could play anywhere on the field. Yeah, I think it's a perfect fit for them. So I will. I actually like that deal because if you were to break everything down and say, what did the Vikings actually give and get in terms of, like, if you break it all down, because they got that 122 from the Bills. That was the biggest part of the Diggs deal. And then there was other picks involved in it. But it would almost say we almost traded Stephon Diggs for Jerry Jeudy with maybe throwing in maybe like that second round pick or something like that. So, and I think they would do that.
I think so as well. I had Minnesota moving up to take a wide receiver in my draft yesterday. I think that they've got the firepower to do it. Yates, do you think Judy is the best wide receiver on the board?
I do. I do. I think that is a seamless fit, you know, just for the reasons that Tags mentioned. So, yeah, I think, you know, you're looking at the upcoming board and seeing that a lot of wide receivers could be off the board by the time that you get down to 22, and you're kind of choosing then between guys like Denzel Mims, you know, if you wanted, I would consider that a reach for him up there, you know, maybe bringing in Michael Pittman Jr. into the first round. I don't want to do that either. So I think Jerry Jeudy is a seamless fit there in Minnesota.
All right. So let's see. We've got the Cincinnati Bengals. This is me because I traded it. I'm going to go ahead and grab CeeDee Lamb here. So they move on from A.J. Green, get CeeDee Lamb. They've still got their quarterback in Derek Carr. Now, it's not Joe Burrow, obviously.
But they have Derek Carr thrown to him, so it doesn't matter.
Derek Carr's a good quarterback. I will fight you on this. We don't have enough time to fight about it now, but I like Derek Carr a lot, man.
Hey, Cincinnati still has Andy Dalton on the roster, so you're going to run two QB sets.
Obviously. Andy Dalton will beat out Derek Carr.
No, get out of here. What is wrong with you?
Andy Dalton's a better quarterback. IMO.
Oh, man.
IMO.
I've got San Francisco, man. I've got a lot of picks in a row here. What's going on?
We're making so many picks.
So many trades. It's so hard to keep track of all this.
Yes.
I'm going to go Kinlaw. They could use an interior defensive tackle as well, and I'm a big believer in Kinlaw. I've got Kinlaw on my top 10 big board, no doubt about it. So I know a lot of people would be itching for Ruggs here. 49ers fans are probably kicking themselves because they don't know how good this guy Kinlaw is. But, I mean, Yates, it sounds like you like him a lot, too.
You trade DeForest Buckner, avoid paying him $21 million a year, and you plug in Javon Kinlaw. Yeah, that's a good move.
All right, and we are on to Tampa Bay now.
Yeah. So I'm making the pick here for Tampa Bay. I think looking at the board, you know, offensive tackle is a big need, but there aren't really any guys that I have rated super highly on my board. Instead, I'm going to look at what I've got available and look at my board. You know what? I'm going to have some fun here. I'm going to take Jonathan Taylor all the way up here. We desperately need a running back. Am I going to take Jonathan Taylor or am I going to take DeAndre Swift? Oh, I'm changing.
Who's better in pass protection? Because you know Bruce Arians is going to put him on the bench no matter how good he is.
I'm going to go DeAndre Swift. I'm going DeAndre Swift here. Final answer. So DeAndre Swift is a seamless fit there in Bruce Arians' offense. You give him the ability to pair with Tom Brady, give him another weapon, take some pressure off of Tom Brady. Man, this, you know, 14 is a little bit of a higher than I would prefer to take a running back, but looking at Tampa Bay and looking at the board, yeah, I'm going to go with DeAndre Swift here.
I hate this for Denver because Denver really needs a wide receiver and Ruggs is the one that everybody wants. I don't have Ruggs as a top five wide receiver in this draft class. I'm not reaching for one of the other wide receivers here. People are going to be really mad at me for this, but I would not draft Ruggs at 15. I'm not a believer. Tags, are you with me?
I'm with you. Yep.
Yates, what do you think, man? Am I crazy?
He's not a bad fit for that team, though, in terms of
there's
like...
There's people talking about him going like seventh overall to Carolina.
Yeah, I think he should go here in the NFL draft. You know, I don't think he should fall past this point. He's a perfect fit for that offense and what they need as far as a field stretching, being able to help out Drew Lock there. But, you know, it's up to you.
How about this, man? How about I trade you Denver and you trade me the, I don't know, the Falcons or something like that. So you can pick Ruggs. I don't have to be the one who does it.
No, I'll stay.
He compliments Cortland Sutton pretty well, but
I don't like CJ Henderson either. I'm taking Ruggs, I guess.
I think you're crazy that you, I don't know why you don't like CJ Henderson.
So Atlanta here on the clock, looking at their needs. So Atlanta desperately needs a corner. Desperately needs a corner. So it's between Christian Fulton and CJ Henderson for me. And as I look,
well, hold on just a second. Okay. You also need an edge rusher and you're competitive now. Jags will trade you Yannick for this pick and I'll throw in a third. You want Yannick?
I mean, of course I want Yannick.
He's 25 years old. You can re-sign him and you can maybe win a Super Bowl this year. All you have to do is trade your first and you get a third pick.
I don't have cap space. I'm going to go that realistic with this. I don't have cap space to sign. So I'll stay here. I'll stay at 16. And again, I think corner's a bigger need because right now the only guys that I have on that roster for Atlanta are guys like Kendall Sheffield, Isaiah Oliver, and Bleedy Rev Wilson.
Oh, yeah. Not great.
Not great, Bob. So I'm going to take the guy who's higher on my board, which is Christian Fulton. Slightly. you know, it's very splitting hairs here, but I am going to take Christian Fulton. I think he fits that defense really, really well. I'll go Christian Fulton here at 16 to the Atlanta Falcons.
I love Christian Fulton, but Tags is licking his chops thinking, oh man, CJ Henderson's going to fall to me in like the second round now.
No, Fulton is actually higher than Henderson on my board as well. I like that pick a lot.
So you're saying I should have taken him with Denver?
You probably should have not taken a guy that you didn't want to draft.
Yeah, well, I'm just trying not to get killed on Twitter for passing up on Ruggs at 15 because everyone's like, hey, Denver should move up into the top 10 to get Ruggs. And then I pass on him at 15. So, all right, Tags, you've got Dallas at 17. Last time I did one of these mocks, CeeDee Lamb fell all the way to Dallas. Do you think there's a chance that Judy or Lamb falls to Dallas? And if he does, would they take him?
No, I don't think they would. After re-signing Amari, having Gallup there, they just need like a complimentary receiver. It's a very deep class, and teams that don't necessarily absolutely need one are probably going to wait. But Dallas, no, they're not going to draft a wide receiver here. They're going to go and try and replace Byron Jones after he left in free agency. And they're going to grab CJ Henderson, who fell further than I think they expected. Safety is a real concern for them. And I think that they got HaHa Clinton Dix under, I think it's a one-year deal, but it's not the long-term solution. But at the same time, there's going to be some safeties there in the second round that they could feel good about.
All right, we're moving on to Miami at 18. You're a second of five picks, Yates. You going quarterback here? Jake Fromm, baby.
No.
I know you love Jake Fromm. That's why I brought it up.
I do love Jake Fromm. I'm not taking him all the way up here. Justin Herbert's still on the board, guys. And while I don't think, I don't like Justin Herbert all the way up at six or five, I think here at 18, that's an incredible value. I think, you know, a team that needed a quarterback could have jumped up ahead of Miami here at 18. But man, I just can't pass on Justin Herbert here at 18, even though I'm not necessarily the biggest fan. His upside is enormous, so I'm going to take Justin Herbert here.
I like it. Yeah, it's worth it at that point to take that, to take the stab, because he was considered like a lock for a top five pick. Like, you know, even if we go back a year or two ago, I remember Bobby liked him a lot. He's like, just wait for Justin Herbert to come out. I'm not particularly high on Herbert, but at 118, I definitely wouldn't fault a team for taking him there.
Yeah, and I mean, now I have Mekhi Becton there to protect. And I have Justin Herbert, so I have my quarterback of the future. Yeah, I like it.
Hey, by the way, before we make our next picks, I just want to say congratulations to Nathan. And we emailed him. So if you didn't get an email and your name is Nathan, you're not the winner of this. So Nathan is the winner of the Marquise Brown signed Baltimore Ravens helmet. Again, that's, of course, from pristineauction.com. So congratulations to Nathan. All right, I'm here with the Bengals. They have a lot of needs. Edge rusher. They could get the first guard of the draft, maybe Cesar Ruiz. You know what I'm going to do, though? I'm going to go up and take a linebacker. Murray is still on the board. Kenneth Murray going to the Bengals at number 19. I'm back on the clock because of all these trades I've been making, so let me put this in really quick. I'm back on the clock with the Jags. I haven't taken anybody yet with the Jags because I just keep moving back. I need a cornerback, IDL, safety, wide receiver. Oh, boy. And there's not a ton.
Do the Jaguars really need a wide receiver, though, Yates? Do you think that they actually need one? Or I think it's a secondary need for them.
Yes, it's a secondary need. They don't need one all the way up here in the first round.
For sure. In this deep class, too.
Right.
All right, guys. It's I'm doing it. I do it every draft that we do. I'm taking Kyle Duggar. I'm reaching for my guy. I think he's the best safety in the class.
Well, I'm not saying that he can't. I mean, Duggar has tremendous.
This is not what the NFL teams would do. It's what I would do. I think Kyle Duggar.
Tags' response was fantastic. That got me.
You remember this time last year, I was taking Darnell Savage in the late first, and you were like, dude, that's not going to happen. Get out of here. What happened, man?
I didn't say it was crazy. No, Duggar, you can get him in like the second or third. So, I mean, I think second is the earliest you have to reach. I actually just did my mock draft, and I have the Eagles taking him in the second because he's kind of like that hybrid, that safety linebacker that they can use. And I think the fit could work there. But he's like this high, crazy high upside pick. But you don't know how he's going to translate to the NFL. You really don't after playing for a small school. So, like, taking him in the first round, it's a risky pick. I'm not going to lie. But, again, this is your team, man. And you're going to have another pick here in two picks, or one pick, I should say, after Yates picks for the Eagles, which I have a feeling I know where Yates is going with this one. I have a strange feeling that his initials might match JJ. Am I correct?
Yeah, yeah, you'd be correct there. Yeah, Justin Jefferson, LSU wide receiver, easy, easy pick here at 21. This is just a seamless fit. He plays the slot, so he can slide in there alongside Alshon Jeffrey and DeSean Jackson if that's the trio that they bring into next year. Otherwise, he can play outside if they move on from Alshon. Man, this just makes a ton of sense and is a seamless, seamless fit. So I know Eagles fans are going to be saying, like, well, what about Greg Ward? Guys, Justin Jefferson is like 10 times the upgrade that Greg Ward is. Greg Ward is a fantastic story, fantastic depth piece. But with Justin Jefferson, man, like, he's a star. He's a stud player. So, yeah, 21.
It's a natural fit. So when I was talking about the Jags need a wide receiver, Yates was like really nervous that I was going to take Justin Jefferson, weren't you?
A little bit. But I think I was so thrown off by the Kyle Duggar pick that I forgot about it. So, yeah.
Yeah. You know, if I was a real NFL team, I would have 15 minutes to make this pick. And I would have just taken the guy I'm going to take right now, Gladney. I think that he is a super solid, high floor cornerback prospect. He's got some upside as well. I'm taking Jeff Gladney, cornerback out of TCU at number 22 for the Jags.
Yeah, it's a good pick.
They need cornerbacks. I mean, basically at this point, you just take the highest one on your board is where you have to go because you need cornerbacks real bad.
Yep, so we're moving on to the Patriots. This is me as well. Guys, I'm trading back. Someone give me an offer. There's no way I'm drafting from here.
I'm fairly certain I've traded away all my picks remaining.
Well, Tags, how about Chicago? You've got the Bears, right?
The Bears have learned from their mistakes trading up with the Patriots. They've done this twice, I think, in the last couple of years, and it hasn't really worked out. Including last year with David Montgomery trading up for him. I'm not trading up with the Patriots. Unless they give me like a crazy good deal, I'm not trading up with them.
Yates, Miami. You've got Miami. You want to trade up? I don't even need your 26. You trade me 207. We'll make a trade with that.
You just want 207 for 123?
Well, no. That's not what I'm saying.
I'll do that.
No. I'll do okay. That. You give me 239 and 370, and I'll move back.
I'm looking at Miami's needs right now.
Okay.
Because I'm trying to figure out.
There's a lot of them. Pretty much everyone, everything.
Yeah. Take your pick. No, I think the guy that I want is going to still be there.
All right. What about Indianapolis?
No. I think I'm going to stay there in the second round.
Do I seriously have to make a pick with the Patriots at 23? I didn't prepare for this.
You do. You should take Jordan Love.
Yeah, take Jordan.
I'm taking Jalen Hurts, not Jordan Love. Jalen Hurts is the better runner. Jalen Hurts had 20 rushing touchdowns last year, 1,300 rushing yards, and he's extremely accurate. I think he can execute this Patriots system. Now, I was planning on trading back into the second to get two picks to take Jalen Hurts and Raekwon Davis. The Patriots don't have a second. I might trade up for Raekwon Davis because I really want him for my Patriots. Not my Patriots, but I'm drafting for the Patriots.
Oh, you're now a Patriots fan. Hey, I will allow it. I will allow you to become a Patriots fan right now.
Why?
Because Brady's gone. Now it's not front runner anymore. It's not like you're
My dad's a Patriots fan. I'd get to watch football with him and root for him. Maybe no,
there you go. You should just, dude, abandon your Jags because they're terrible.
Yeah, but that's why I picked them, is because they're terrible. And when they become good, it will be my team. It won't be like
I actually give props to people that stick with teams. I believe that that's part of being a fan, is that you have to go through the ups and downs.
And we got the mustache magic going on, man.
The what?
Gardner Minshew.
Oh, well, you should have drafted a quarterback.
With the Jags?
Yeah, 100%.
No, I'm getting Trevor Lawrence next year.
I would have taken Jalen Hurts over
over Kyle Duggar.
Over Kyle Duggar.
Man, when Kyle Duggar is a Hall of Famer in 3 years, like he's going to dominate.
A Hall of Famer in 3 years.
He's going to dominate the NFL for 2 years, and then he's just going to retire, and they're going to immediately put him in the Hall of Fame. I'm going to come back and say, you remember when you made fun of me for drafting Kyle Duggar in the second?
This
in the
is
first?
So good.
All right, Yates, you've got 124. You going quarterback here. You going Jalen Reagor, which I think is perfect for Michael Thomas.
So New Orleans Saints, I'm looking at their depth chart, and they have some mediocre guys here at linebacker. I think DeMario Davis is obviously a phenomenal player, but then you have guys like Kiko Alonso, Alex Anzalone. You know, you just have these guys who I don't think are necessarily like focal points that I can't move on from. So there's a guy here still on the board, Patrick Queen.
Yeah.
And Patrick Queen is still rated extremely highly on my board, ultra athletic, and would be a seamless fit there. So while I think they could still be looking at wide receiver, we could still be looking at wide receiver, but adding Emmanuel Sanders kind of pushes that need a little bit further down the road. So I'll take Patrick Queen here.
That's a great pick. And I'm sitting there with Baltimore at 28. I'm kind of pissed at you.
Well, fortunately, Baltimore can get Yannick from me.
Well, I mean, he's not a linebacker, so...
I know, but don't you want an edge rusher, too?
I mean...
You don't have... What I'm saying is, you don't have to draft anyone now. You can just trade me the pick.
I'm not trying to get bent over, Bobby. No more.
Wait, trading you a 25-year-old superstar is getting bent over?
No, I'm saying...
I'm trying to be nice to you. I feel bad for you that you couldn't get Patrick Queen.
Oh, wait, are you trying to offer me something for 125? I'll take Yannick and... Well, I can't take on his contract in Minnesota, apparently. But let's pretend I can. What are you going to offer me for this 125 pick for Yannick?
Yannick?
Just for straight up for 125.
Yeah. No. That's what he's going to go for, man. He's going to go for a late first.
No, they know he's not going to play for them. This is one of those situations where it's like they're going to... It's basically what they did with A.J. Boye, what they did with Calais Campbell. They trade these guys for nothing.
Yeah, but they weren't 25-year-olds, dude. I mean, this is somebody that you sign for $80 million.
Oh, I understand. I also have to get him under contract. Do you have a... Let me see. You give me Yannick and you're 226, and I will give you this 125 pick.
I'm not trading 226. Get out of here. I'll trade you my third. I'll trade you 373.
373 and Yannick for this.
Yes.
Deal.
All right. I'm taking Jalen Reagor. So the Jags ended up with Jalen Reagor. I feel like this is the end of the tier of first-round wide receivers in my mind. Would you agree with that, Yates?
I think Reagor, with his combine, with it being a little bit all over the place, I think he might have fallen out of the first round. I think he was a borderline first-round player anyway to begin with going into the combine. He has this little, you know, lopsided kind of combine performance, so I think he'll fall a little bit more than I think we're anticipating, but he fits that. He fits that offense, what they need, you know, and you're just adding speed, right? You have DeeDee Westbrook, Jalen Reagor, and DJ Chark. Like, that's just a track team out there. So, yeah, I like it. I like the fit. I think you could have got him later, but, you know, get your guy. So, all right, I'm up here at 126 with Miami again. Man, Miami. I'm going to go Grant Delpit. And I'm going to go Grant Delpit because I really, really like him as a prospect. I think people are all over the map with his evaluation. But what we have to take into consideration is the context that Grant Delpit was dealing with an ankle injury all last season. And he switched positions. He switched from strong safety to free safety throughout the year to compensate for another teammate's injury. So he's playing a position that he doesn't necessarily fit perfectly. I think he's more of a strong safety playing towards the line of scrimmage, kind of in that Jamal Adams role. Again, you know, safety out of LSU, that's where he excels, and that's what Miami can need here on the back end with, you know, you have guys like Eric Rowe and Bobby McCain. You know, those are your two starting safeties. I think you can upgrade. And now, so we've got, you know, we address the offense with the first two picks with Mekhi Becton and Justin Herbert. Now we get a leader for the back end of the defense in Grant Delpit.
All right. I like Delpit as well. He was going in the top 10 picks like 5 months ago, and things just changed so quickly. He's got a lot of talent. A lot of people liked him not so long ago. I've got Seattle. Could go edge rusher here. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. I'm taking AJ out of Iowa. AJ Epenesa. I'm taking him at 127. Baltimore is on the clock.
And you guys just took another one of my picks that I wanted to go with. Epenesa was kind of the guy. I'm not like in love with him or anything. So
there's still one guy on the board that is falling.
I'll trade you Yannick two tags. I'll trade Yannick to Baltimore as well for another first.
You're trying to steal another pick.
Who do you think is falling, Yates?
Well, I'm not gonna tell him.
He doesn't want to tell me because for obvious reasons. But
you talking about McKinney?
I don't know.
Yetur Gross-Matos out of Penn State. I'm going to go with him. He's a better fit for a 3-4, but I'm going to make him work in my scheme. I'll do something to make it work because we do need an edge rusher. And this is not a particularly great class for edge rushers. And I know there's one still on the board that I don't like, which is why I'm not going to draft him. I'm not even going to say his name because maybe he falls into the second. I'll take him. But yeah.
All right, Yates. You going with a running back here with Tennessee as well?
No, so actually, while we're recording here, we got news that Derrick Henry signed his franchise tender. So looks like Derrick Henry is going to be there next year. So I'm gonna wait on that pick. There isn't an offensive tackle here that I'm necessarily super crazy about, which I think they could go that direction, but there just isn't one that Josh Jones or Austin Jackson.
You don't think Josh Jones is super polished and ready to roll in an offense like this?
No.
Josh Jones is really raw as a prospect. He's a former basketball player, still like ultra athletic and has immense upside, but I don't think he's necessarily someone who should go in the first round. He probably will in the NFL draft, but I don't think he should. The Tennessee Titans are actually reportedly like sniffing around Jadeveon Clowney. So it could indicate that they're not fully set with their edge group, which has Harold Landry, which I was Harold Landry was one of my favorite prospects in that class when he came out. They added Vic Beasley, but I don't think that Vic Beasley is necessarily the answer either. So I'm going to go with the guy who I was saying is falling. This is a guy who I really like, and based on what Tags was saying, I think this is a player that he doesn't like. Kalavon Chaisson out of LSU, the edge player, can play in all three phases of the game, is able to get after the quarterback, was a speed rusher. You have speed on the edges with Harold Landry and Kalavon Chaisson. And then he can also be a factor against the run and drop back in coverage. He's a player who I really like. I'm going to take him here for Tennessee.
I totally forgot about him being the one that's dropping because he's so low on my board, man.
Yeah, he's versatile, but I don't think he's good, like really like above average in any aspect where it's like, I think he's going to be too small in the NFL.
If he goes in the top 12 picks, I wouldn't be shocked at all. In fact, I think he's going to go in the top 15. He dropped all the way to 29 here, but I don't love him. I
have him at 21 on my big board. So I'm a fan. I have him as edge three behind AJ Epenesa and, of course, Chase Young.
All right, Packers are going with a wide receiver. I'm taking Denzel Mims out of Baylor.
Yeah, I've been toying with this. Like, do the Packers actually take a wide receiver there? Because they've been, remember last year when they kept talking about Aaron Jones and how they wanted to split the workload between him and Jamal Williams, and we never wanted to believe them. Well, they keep talking up Alan Lazard, and then they signed Devin Funchess, and it's like they have all these wide receivers in the roster, and I'm starting to believe that they actually think that they're okay at wide receiver right now. Now, not to say that they're not going to take one, but I don't know if they take one with an early round pick. Like Brian Bulaga, they lost him in free agency, and Rick Wagner is the one that they signed. I don't think he's very good, so I think they could look at tackle. I think they're one of those teams that could look at tackle, maybe like a Josh Jones, a developmental player that doesn't have to start right away. But
I've got the 49ers. I'm going with Trayvon Diggs, cornerback out of Alabama. I really want Gladney for the 49ers, but I'll take Diggs.
Yeah.
Yeah, Trayvon Diggs fits that scheme perfectly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's funny because someone actually, I think we were doing our mock draft episode. I can't remember what happened, but someone said Trayvon Diggs to the Vikings, and I was like, yeah, that's not going to happen. Not many people know it's Stephon Diggs' brother.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
So the Vikings will literally just skip over him.
Oh, man. That's funny.
Yeah, that's a hard pass from the Vikings.
But yeah, I have the Chiefs here, 32. And I am like, I'm really torn with this because this could be like a really fun pick or it could just be like a needs pick. Oh, man. I want to do a fun pick. I really do.
You going Jonathan Taylor?
I can't do it. Actually, I forgot Swift was already taken way back at 114.
I had Swift going to the Chiefs at 32 in my mock yesterday. So you're going Jordan Love then, aren't you?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, clearly because Jordan Love is Patrick Mahomes, didn't you know?
Yeah.
That's what we've been told anyway. Man, this is tough. Now I'm like really like taken back by this. I'm going to go Julian Okorah out of Notre Dame.
Ooh, first round. Whoa.
Yep, I like him a lot. I think he's being undervalued in this class, to be honest with you. And I think if someone team gets him in the second round, they're going to be extremely happy.
So I'm the Bengals. So I got CeeDee Lamb at 12. I got Kenneth Murray at 19. So let's see what I need here really quick.
I'm going to go ahead and say that you need an offensive lineman pretty bad.
Yeah, I could use an offensive lineman.
Kind of pick your poison on the offensive line because I don't... So Yates, what do you think about them, like in terms of having Billy Price? Like, are they going to declare him a bust at some point? They didn't spend any equity on Michael Jordan, and he sucks. He was terrible when they drafted him. Trey Hopkins at center, like the interior of the offensive line is not a strength of this team.
No, it's not. It's just a matter of if you think that any of the interior offensive linemen are worth taking here.
No, I'd like to trade back with the Bengals, but I don't think we're going to do as many trades in the second round just so we can cruise through this thing. Thinking about a corner.
Yeah, they snagged Von Bell in free agency. Safety was an area that I thought they could have upgraded, but they've actually done a really good job at the cornerbacks. I think grabbing Trey Waynes and Mackenzie Alexander from Minnesota was smart because Alexander was great. Waynes is fine as a number two. They have William Jackson there. You already got your linebacker. You got a wide receiver. I think offensive line is the pick here. It's either that or you go with like an edge rusher.
I'll take Jones then. Let's go Jones. Josh Jones.
Josh Jones. There's an upside pick.
He's an upgrade over Bobby Hart.
Yeah, he is.
And you have Jonah Williams, you know, is it?
So we're moving on to Indianapolis.
Yeah, that would be me. So I'm just going to fly through this. I'm going to take Jeremy Chinn here. There are some wide receivers that, I'm eyeing, but I think that they're a little bit of reaches here. Indianapolis still has a need at the strong safety position. We brought in Kari Willis in the fourth round, I think, last year, who played really well. But and then Malik Hooker as your free safety. Man, Jeremy Chinn is one of my favorite players in this class and was someone who I just loved the minute that I put the tape on. And the NFL has slowly been rising on him. So, yeah, Jeremy Chinn here all the way at 34. And I'll take it.
All right. So I'm going to go with the Lions. I have the Lions pick here at 203, and I'm going to go Clemson cornerback AJ Terrell. Playing for Clemson, you're going to play the best of the best. And I know that he did get beat up a little bit by LSU's Jamar Chase. And let's just be honest, everybody gets beat up by Jamar Chase because he's really friggin' good. But I'm going to go with AJ Terrell. I think that he has number one cornerback upside, maybe not right out of the gate, but we definitely need a cornerback, and he's going to fill that role.
All right. Let's keep it moving. Yates, you traded for this pick. You added it when you moved back from 1-2 to 1-4. Who were you taking with Washington?
Yeah, so Washington back on the clock here. I am looking at the offensive tackle class because I don't think that Trent Williams wants to play for us. So while I'm not necessarily the biggest fan of Austin Jackson, I think that he presents some upside and yet, you know, still has a solid floor. So I don't think that he's going to be a plug and play, you know, replacement for Trent Williams, but we need to do something. And so I'm going to take Austin Jackson here at this pick.
Yep, those tackles are flying off the board. Jackson, yeah, he's not someone I like a lot, but he's getting a lot of, apparently people are saying he's going to go in the first round.
Yeah, I saw a recent mock from someone, I can't remember who, otherwise I would say it had Austin Jackson all the way up at 14 for the Bucks.
Really? You know, I've been seeing Isaiah Wilson out of Georgia creeping into the first in some drafts as well. What do you guys think about him?
He's a mauler. He's a beast. Right tackle only prospect.
That's basically the problem with him is that it's right tackle or bust.
I wouldn't mind taking him in the second, though, right? I mean, right tackle's going the second.
We'll see. We'll see if he goes here.
Yeah, this is where you'd actually consider him. I'm not going to reach there because I'm not huge on Isaiah Wilson. Like, I think he's fine, but I don't think... I'm not going to go that route. I am actually going to go and fix this linebacking core because Nick Vigil is not the answer. I know we signed him in free agency, but I fired that GM. I don't like him. So I am going to go with one of the linebackers I think is underrated in this class, Evan Weaver. I like him quite a bit.
You like him, huh?
Yeah, high effort linebacker. I think he's a player. He's not great in coverage, but not many linebackers are nowadays. Like, you need someone like crazy like Isaiah Simmons, you know, like the guys that could fly around, like Patrick Queen. He's like an in the box player. Like, he's not going to be great in coverage, but Evan Weaver, I'll take the high effort player and continue to build that defense.
All right, Evan Weaver, we're moving on to Carolina now. Who are we taking?
Yeah, so I took Derrick Brown in the first round, so I'm going to double back here and still address that defense. And the guy that I'm thinking about, I'm going to go with Zach Bond here. Edge player slash linebacker out of Wisconsin. He is someone who's incredibly versatile, brings pass rush upside off of the edge, but then also has the ability. I think he works best, or I think his best fit is as a 4-3 strong side linebacker. So in this hybrid defense that Phil Snow is installing here, I think that he, you know, is going to be able to be moved around. And the Carolina Panthers, we have Brian Burns and Christian Miller from Alabama that we drafted last year, but he's kind of an unknown at this point. So I'm going to bring in Zach Bond here to potentially just build this defense back up pretty quickly here.
All right, and we're on to Miami. This is you as well, Yates. You've already got like 20 players.
Oh my word, how many? Miami, dear goodness gracious. Okay.
Let's see, you went Delpit, you went Justin Herbert, and you also went Becton.
Yes, that's correct. So this is where I start to look at interior offensive line. Oh, man. Cesar Ruiz. I can't believe he's still here on the board. I'm going to go Cesar Ruiz out of Michigan. Plays center primarily. Can, of course, kick outside to guard. But, yeah, he's going to be someone who I plug right here into this offensive line. And alongside Eric Flowers, Ted Karras, I think that's a good starting point here, especially with Mekhi Becton, too.
All right. I'm all caught up after having 20 first-round picks from all the trades. By the way, the Jags ended up with 3 firsts and 3 seconds. How about that?
And they still have no talent on their roster.
Their roster is so bad. So I've got Houston. I'm taking Terrell Lewis, edge rusher out of Alabama.
Now, he's someone that I don't get it. I watch him and I'm like, wait, he's going to be like, and I couldn't believe that people were saying he's going in the second round. And there's some people saying he's going to go in the first. I'm like, I don't get it at all. It's not for me.
I thought that you were really high on him. Who is it that you're really high on from Alabama's defensive line?
Raekwon?
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Yeah, now on to the Browns. That's going to be my pick here. And I solidified my tackle position, well, somewhat, with what I had to do. A couple people decided to kind of screw me in the process. They need a linebacker really bad because Mac Wilson ain't it. but there's really nobody out here that I...
Hey, can we talk about that really quick, Tags?
Yeah.
Cleveland's linebacking core right now is Mack Wilson and Sione Takitaki.
Yeah.
That's it.
It's not good. It's not good. And I'm not going to take a linebacker here because it just doesn't make sense. Like, it would be reaching for a linebacker just because they have a need. They're going to draft a linebacker at some point. I just don't think the second round is where they're going to do it because, I mean, unless somebody falls. Like, if you get a Patrick Queen to fall, if you get a I don't even think Bond maybe because he's considered, like, higher than Weaver on most boards. But, yeah, I mean.
So you're going safety here?
That's probably where I'm going to go, actually, yeah. And I'm going to take...
There's two good ones left. Is it McKinney or Winfield?
I'm actually going to go Anton Winfield Jr. I believe, like, this dude's built like a pit bull, man. Like, he's going to be so good. And, like, whatever team lands this kid, he's going to be really happy. And I remember I put him at the, like, end of the first round of one of my mocks, and some people were like, whoa, really? And it's like, all of a sudden, he's starting to move up boards. I mean, he may not be at the end of the first round yet, but he's definitely a day two pick at worst. And I like him. I like him a lot. And I think he's the long-term answer they're looking for at safety.
So we remember when we talked about all those defensive tackles who were going to go in the first round. We only took two of them. I'm taking Ross Blacklock, who fell to the Jags at number 42. I think most mocks have him going in the first round.
Yeah, that's a smart pick right there.
Thank you. I'm very smart.
If he fell there, like, if you're getting all these players, like, it kind of makes up for your Kyle Duggar pick.
No, dude, I could have traded away, given away all my picks, taken Kyle Duggar at 1-1 and still been happy.
If he works out, that's what I'm saying. I'm not disagreeing with you on Duggar being, like, having a high upside, but he's not a first round pick.
Oh, man. We'll see. All right. Let's keep moving, Tags. You finally got your Chicago Bears on the clock, and don't screw it up because Yates will be mad at you.
I do have him. Now, this is a really tough one for me. I think I'm going to go with Bryce Hall, cornerback out of Virginia.
Yes, baby.
Now, here's the issue, and I want to be clear about this. I'm going to assume that I brought him in for a physical and that everything was okay. And the reason I say that, I think Bryce Hall might fall in the draft a lot more than he should. And I think this goes for a lot of players. And this is something I was thinking about when I was doing my mock draft, is that players right now are, especially that are dealing with an injury or coming off an injury, are in a really bad spot, is they can't do these physicals, they can't fly out to the teams, and it could force them to fall down draft boards. But the Bears need a cornerback. They need someone. They need a starting cornerback, let's be real. And Bryce Hall, if he was not hurt during your senior year, he may be getting first-round conversation. So taking him here in the middle of the second, I'm okay with.
If you watch his tape back in 2018, and, you know, I watched both of them, but in 2018... based on that tape, if that was his 2019 tape, he'd be my first cornerback on the board.
Wow.
I wouldn't disagree with that. I mean, one or two. Jeffrey Okuda would probably be right there, but he graded out.
After Okuda, that's like a gimme. Yeah, yeah, Okuda for sure, and then Hall.
Yeah, Hall graded out really highly from a tape perspective for me, but it's the injury concerns that pushes him back down.
And he's a coach's dream, too.
Yeah, I love the fit in Chicago. It's all dependent upon health. So, all right, I'm up here with Indianapolis again. I took Jeremy Chinn with the first one, so I addressed a need there on the back end. We need wide receiver help. T. Higgins is still here on the board. I think his pro day was a little disappointing, but, you know, he's still someone who's an extremely talented player, shouldn't fall too far in this draft. And so we have a wide receiver core now of T. Higgins, T. Y. Hilton, and Paris Campbell, and then Zach Pascal is the depth piece.
It's a great fit, man. That's a great compliment to T. Y.
Yep. Yeah, so I'll take T. Higgins here at 44.
All right, and it's back to you, Tampa Bay. You need an offensive tackle. Is that where you're going? If you don't, Tom Brady might quit.
He probably already did, to be honest. If you pass one at 114, I mean, they feel like Donovan Smith's the answer. So, I mean, right tackle is usually typically more of like a run grader.
You know what I'm going to do? You know what I'm going to do? This is a player that I really, really like, and I don't think the NFL is as high. He brings some versatility. I think he can start out at tackle and then kick inside if he doesn't work out there. He still has some things that he needs to work on, but the upside is there. That's Matt Peart out of UConn, the offensive tackle. I really, really like him. Yeah, I'm going to take Matt Peart there, and I think he brings some stability, but yet brings some upside as well.
I actually think that I have him down as potentials there. I think he looks lost when he doesn't have a direct assignment, and that's why I think the guard idea works really well for him.
Yeah, yeah, I had that same scouting note. So I think, yeah, he's definitely still raw, but he was someone who at the combine jumped onto my radar, and then and when I was able to watch the tape, I saw the upside. He's going to take some coaching, but can definitely get there.
You guys remember Zach Martin when he came out of school and how he was just mean? You know what I mean? Just an absolute powerhouse in the box. That's who I'm taking for the Denver Broncos here at 246. Tyler Bydas, interior offensive lineman out of Wisconsin. He's my favorite interior offensive lineman because a lot of people have him outside their top 100 overall. I thought that Tags was going to like make fun of me again. I was going to cry on the podcast.
I try not to make fun of you, Bobby. Believe it or not, I try. It's just sometimes it's harder than others.
All right, we've got Yates at 215 for the Atlanta Falcons. Which way are you going here?
You took Christian Fulton with the first pick, the cornerback.
Yep. So I did take Christian Fulton there at the first with that first pick. I'm looking at their needs right now. Of course, signed Todd Gurley, but I don't think that he's someone who I necessarily feel super comfortable with. I think our offensive line is set. It's not necessarily, I think, you know, Caleb McGarry, I wasn't a huge fan of his, but we need to give him time to develop. I don't want to replace him right away. Interior defensive line is in need. So I'm going to go here with Justin Madubuike out of Texas A&M, graded out extremely highly for me in tape evaluation. He's just super athletic, super twitchy, would be a perfect complement there on the interior. So yeah, I'm going to go Justin Madubuike here out of Texas A&M.
I like it.
All right, we're back to the Jags, and I am taking a quarterback. I'm taking our boy.
Oh, that's right. You traded it from the Jets.
That's right. I'm taking our dude, Jake Fromm, baby.
Jake Fromm.
So let's stop and let's take a look at Jacksonville's draft haul so far. Okay, so Jacksonville has walked away with Jeff Gladney, Jalen Reagor, Ross Blacklock, and now Jake Fromm.
I've got another pick coming up here, too, in about 10 selections.
Man. Okay.
If you were a Jags fan, would you be pumped? I mean, because everyone keep in mind, this is my team.
Yeah, I think, I don't know if I would necessarily be, like, super pumped to have Jake Fromm as my quarterback. I think he's going to be good. I think he, you know, is a leader in the locker room, high character player. It's just going to be a matter of, you know, is he that much of an upgrade over Gardner Minshew? I think so. I don't know if I'm necessarily going to be super pumped to have him in, but I think it's a good move.
All right. We've got the Pittsburgh Steelers. I've got the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, I initially put, I'm looking at my notes right now, draft Jake Fromm at 217, you know, because I think, Tags, you talked about it in your mock draft today. I think it came out today. Everyone's talking about, hey, the Packers might go out and get a quarterback. But when you tell the Steelers that they might get a quarterback, they laugh at you. But the thing is, Big Ben's older and worse than Aaron Rodgers.
Like, yeah, and he's coming off a major elbow surgery. Like, there's a lot of question marks, and we obviously saw their backups last year, and they're not going to work in the NFL. So I don't understand why Steeler fans like come at me when I mock them a quarterback. It makes all the sense in the world.
You know, I thought about getting a running back here as well. I might do that. I already put down Jordan Love. Just because I think that it makes a lot of sense while he's still on the board. Because if Big Ben gets hurt again, then you've got Jordan Love who can step in there. But Jonathan Taylor is on the board, guys.
Jonathan Taylor on the board is really enticing. Yeah, that's a good pick.
Because I don't know if James Conner is the answer. And if you can get somebody like Jonathan Taylor in this offense.
Jonathan Taylor. Wow, that's a great pick if he falls to that area.
Steelers fans will still probably be mad, though. Who do you guys want? Can you tell me who you want? I'm talking to the Steelers fans out there. Tweet me, at Bobby Fantasy Pro. Who the heck do you guys want? Because no matter who I mock, you guys are like the loudest. You guys are worse than Eagles fans about this stuff. And I get it. You love your team and stuff. But isn't it funny when you write a mock and every single comment is, there's no way that'll happen. Every single time it's funny.
Oh, it does. That's a real thing.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's a blast, though. It means people know what they want from their team. And so let's move on here. Who do we have?
I have the next two picks. All right. So the Bears are on the clock again. We're going to go with an interior guard. Kyle Long retiring, going downhill really fast with injuries added up. We're going to go ahead and take Logan Stenberg out of Kentucky. He is not high on many draft boards, I would say. But I think that he's got the mindset I want in a guard. And I think that he's a high floor player that I can almost start right away because the interior of the line is suffering a little bit outside of Whitehair and James Daniels. So I will take him. And then at 219 with Dallas on the clock, I'm going to go with LSU center Lloyd Cushenberry. And I'm doing this out of necessity. Travis Frederick retired just the other week, and it creates a massive, massive hole. And Joe Looney filled in 2018, and that just wasn't great. So we're going to go ahead and draft our center here.
All right, Yates, it's you for two picks. You finally got the Rams. I'm willing to offer 2 third-round picks from the Raiders to move up to this spot.
I think the Rams should be looking to move back in like the actual NFL draft, but for the sake of our Rams fans, I'm going to stay on the clock here just so that way they have the actual ability to hear a pick made for their team. I am going to go with, they need linebacker desperately. And so I'm going to go with Malik Harrison. I think he's the next best option on the board. He's a thumper in the run game. Brings some size to the position because right now we have some smaller guys. So I'm going to go with Malik Harrison here at 52. And then I have the Philadelphia Eagles back on the clock, right? So they took Justin Jefferson with their first pick, and they brought in a ton of corners in free agency. Like, go look at their depth chart right now. It's insane. So they still need safety, though. And there is a player that is still on the board who should not be, in my opinion.
Man, I can't believe he fell this far.
Yeah, Xavier McKinney is one of the players that I like. I don't think he's necessarily one of these guys who like has elite traits in, you know, one specific area, but he's very, very instinctive, very smart, leader on the back end. So you lose Malcolm Jenkins, you plug in Xavier McKinney. Justin Jefferson and Xavier McKinney as the first two picks for the Eagles. That's a good haul.
Man, Eagles fans are pumped up listening to this now. All right, so let's keep this moving here. We got the Buffalo Bills coming up. Tags, this is you.
Yep, I will go ahead and select edge rusher Jonathan Greenard out of Florida. I like him. His sack numbers may not be massive or anything like that, but he's constantly disrupting the play and forcing a quarterback out of the pocket. I think he fits the 4-3 scheme perfectly for the Bills, and I know they snagged Mario Addison, but that's a short-term thing. So, I like that pick there. And then as for the Ravens, I'm going to make a fun pick with the Ravens, I think, here, just because the linebackers, again, I feel like I'm reaching. The interior linemen are not great. So we're going to go ahead and grab a player that we can put in this offense and have some fun. I'm going to go Donovan Peoples-Jones out of Michigan.
You big jerk.
I believe that he's better than Miles Boykin, who they reached on last year. I didn't like the pick when they made it. But alongside of Marquise Brown, I feel like this is great. And then you have a guy that can win jump balls for Lamar Jackson when they get down the red zone. So, I like him a lot.
You knew I was going to take him with Houston. That's why you took him, just despite me.
Houston needs a lot more than just him.
Yeah, they do. But it's not my pick. It's Yates' pick with Miami. Who are you taking at 24?
Yeah, so I'm kind of going back and forth on a couple players here. I think the player that I'm considering would be a little bit of a reach. While they addressed a ton of needs with edge in free agency, so I don't think they need to go there necessarily. They could be looking at a wide receiver, potentially someone like Michael Pittman Jr. Makes a ton of sense for that offense, to pair alongside Devontae Parker. But a running back is still here on the board, and even though they added Jordan Howard in free agency, J.K. Dobbins still here on the board is surprising to me. So I'm going to take him here and know that I'm set at running back alongside a revamped offensive line.
All right, Houston is going with Laviska Shenault, who fell to them. I'm grabbing that wide receiver here. Do you guys think he could fall this far? Could he even fall into the third round?
Absolutely.
In my most recent mock, I had him fall down to pick 228, actually. So yeah, I definitely see him falling with this injury stuff. I thought he fell to the second round before the combine, all this that core muscle stuff came up.
Yeah, sure. All right, and the Jags are back on the clock. Man, I've already drafted like everything anyone could ever need. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go out and get myself Isaiah Wilson, offensive tackle out of Georgia. He fell this far. I'm glad to have him.
All right. And Bobby's back on the clock with Seattle.
I am back on the clock with Seattle.
You took AJ Epinesa in the first round.
I'm going to go with an interior offensive lineman here. I'm going with Solomon Kindley out of Georgia. He's in a back-to-back Georgia offensive lineman. He's another absolute mauler.
Yeah, we're getting to the point now where it's getting to those interior linemen where you start probably selecting them. And I'm on the clock with the Ravens at 228, and they obviously had Marshall Yanda retire out of nowhere, and that's creating another a big void for them. They have tackles, but you kind of have to start thinking like, all right, what players can potentially move from tackle to guard and kind of start right away, because there's just not a whole lot of guys here. And one guy that I actually think can play tackle, but it's easy to transition from tackle to guard, not vice versa. So I'm going to say Lucas Niang out of TCU.
Dang it. That's a good pick, man.
I'm going to draft him and then I'm going to move him in the interior of the line. I think he's going to be fantastic.
Dang it. Is that who you were going to take with Tennessee? Yates?
Yes, with my literal next pick.
Ooh, and that he would have fit in right at right tackle too there.
Nice.
Yeah, he would have.
Sorry to hear that. Oh, and you lost Isaiah Wilson too. That sucks.
I could hear the empathy in your voice. All right, so Tennessee, I took Kalavon Chase on in the first round, and then I'm going to double back here. There is still a tackle that I like, Ezra Cleveland. Again, he's more of a developmental project, but could play on that right side of the offensive line and fit in here into this offense. So Ezra Cleveland here out of Boise State, offensive tackle.
Green Bay's on the clock. I'm taking a cornerback, someone that I think has a chance to be a star, Jalen Johnson out of Utah.
Yeah, he's someone that's actually getting first round buzz. I don't get it. I don't think that he's a first round player, but getting him at the end of the second is not bad.
He's a good player. I don't think he's a first round player either. But yeah, he's a good player.
And I am on the clock with Kansas City Chiefs at 231, and I get to make my pick. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, welcome to the squad.
Ooh.
This is like a dream scenario, by the way. Like, if he goes to KC, oh.
Yeah, but if he goes in the second, like, I don't know if he's starting, so I don't know where to draft him.
I believe it would be I think it would start as a timeshare with him and Damian Williams, and then they would have ultimately transitioned to Clyde Edwards-Helaire when they realized that he's really freaking good.
Yeah. All right, I'm taking Raekwon Davis.
Oh, woo! No, I'm screwed up.
Man, this was a lot of fun. So Raekwon Davis is the very last pick. He's going to the Seattle Seahawks, and they're obviously doing cartwheels. Tags is pulling his hair out, little is left. That is
wow.
I had to throw that in there
because
he was poking fun of me. There's some really good players still available. Jordan Love, Neville Gallimore, defensive tackle out of Oklahoma. Brandon Ayuk, wide receiver out of Arizona. Cameron Dantzler, cornerback out of Minnesota, who's got some first-round buzz. Anybody else that you see that, not that we may have missed, but, you know, that a lot of people have mocked in the second? Josh?
There's going to be people that say Jordan Love should have been drafted, but, and I'm not going to say I disagree in the second round. He probably should have been.
I don't like him.
With my teams, I didn't. I mean.
Right. And we also have to take into account, like, a lot of these teams just don't have quarterback needs in the second round. So any team that did take him, like Pittsburgh, probably made the most sense, but yet
I think Jacksonville makes sense for him too.
Yeah, potentially. It's just he's a high ceiling player, but he's a low floor player too. So
it's true.
That was a lot of fun, guys. We had a lot of trades in there.
Yeah, we did. It was a good time.
Yeah, it was a ton.
All right. That's all for today's show. Give us a follow on Twitter if you haven't already. At Bobby Fantasy Pro, at Mike Taglier NFL, and at Kyle Y NFL. And congratulations again to Nathan on winning the Hollywood Brown sign helmet thanks to pristineauction.com. For Kyle Yates and Mike Taglier, I'm Bobby Sylvester. Thanks for listening and watching over on youtube.com/fantasypros, and enjoy your football.
I just wanted you to watch me dissolve slowly.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Ready, set, griddle this grilling season. Get the Weber Slate Rust Resistant Griddle with a carbon steel cooktop that's safe for metal tools. It's pre-seasoned and ready to cook on right out of the box. It's the griddle that stays ready, not rusty. This griddle heats evenly edge to edge. It reaches up to 500 degrees. The Weber Works Prep cook and store system keeps cooking supplies handy, and you can carry all the food, condiments, and utensils you need. Get fired up for your new Weber Slate Rust.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.